Hello, everyone. Welcome back to ScoreNotes.com, Composer Interviews. We're happy to have with us today Chris Beck. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you. What can you tell us about your most recent film, the score for We Are Marshall?
Well, it's one of my favorite projects I've worked on in quite a while. I'm really pleased with the end result, the film and the score. Working with McGee was an adventure and really, really fun. He's incredibly charismatic and passionate and not a little insane. And so it was really fun sort of going on a ride with him doing this movie. I'm really pleased with the end result.
Well, that's great. How did you first become involved with the project? And at what stage did you get involved in creating the music for the film?
Well, I had worked with Big G very, very briefly, actually, on a project completely unrelated to the film business, a record. I believe it was a Sugar Ray record several years back. We have a friend in common, and I was recommended to do string arrangements for one song, and that's when I got to know him, and he remembered me, this is now 4 years later, when my name came up for this movie, and I think he liked what he heard on my demo CD and hired me pretty early. This was pretty early in shooting, about halfway through shooting when I got hired. And it's always great to be hired early on a project because it gives time to experiment without too much pressure, work on themes, etc.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Now, when a composer takes on a movie that deals with a real-life tragedy, how difficult is it to gauge the right type of music that you're going to use in it?
Well, a film is about storytelling, and whether the story is based on a true event or not, the challenges for a film composer are the same. How best to enhance what's going on the screen in a way that is in unison with the filmmaker's vision. I will say that working on a true story was very exciting because, you know, you could go on some of the message boards discussing the movie on the internet and find people who lost relatives in the crash participating in these message boards about the film, or people who are actually depicted in the film and are still alive. That was really something special to be a part of that. But as far as the mechanics of scoring the film, you know, I've got the picture in front of me, and I've got the story, and I've got to be part of the storytelling team, and that works the same way whether it's a true story or not.
It seems like there's a little bit more merit when you're dealing with a true story as opposed to what's out there right now.
Sure.
Now, can you tell us about a soundtrack release to this film? Will your score be included in it? Any information on that?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, there are going to be two soundtracks for the film. The one I know of that actually exists and is coming out soon is the score soundtrack, and that is music only from the score to the film by me, and that's coming out, I think, next week on the 19th on Verez Saraband. And I know they have plans for a song soundtrack as well. There's it being a period piece. There's opportunities to use songs from the period, late 60s, early 70s. And they're used to great effect in the film, and it would make a great soundtrack. I know they're planning one. I have not yet seen it announced, but I have no doubt it will be released at some point.
Okay, great. Now, in this case, transitioning from television to film music, what are some of the challenges involved with that you've picked up on?
Well, there are some superficial challenges. For example, budget and time. There are not the resources available to have a live orchestra when you're doing a television show. The show I was on, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, required a really traditional symphonic score, and I had to realize that electronically in my home studio. And I had to write 6, 8, 10 minutes a day working in TV, whereas now I enjoy the comparative luxury of only having to write maybe 2 or 3. But besides that, like I said before, like the question about how a story being true affects the job of being a film composer. Besides those two differences, there's really no difference in the mechanics of scoring. You know, you're still once again you're faced with the picture and how best to solve the problem of putting music under it. And aside from all that, their biggest difference is really perceptual, and that is really in the I'm talking really about the people in the industry who are quite naturally, because it's human nature, very quick to put people into boxes. And when you're in that TV composer box, it's hard to be thought of as a film composer. And it's very easy for people in the film world to think, oh, that guy's just a TV composer, he wouldn't be appropriate for the film. So I really had to take a bold step and kind of start over, and that's what I did. I quit all my TV shows and sort of hung out my hat saying, hey, I'm a film composer now. I quit all my TV shows. You know, I'm available. Let's do it. And it took a year or two before things started really moving in the right direction. But that's really what I had to do to change over. And I think, again, I think that the differences when it comes to the actual composing work are minimal and superficial. It's really just how you're perceived in the industry.
Seems like you had to go cold turkey from television altogether. And that, in a way that I would suppose that's unfortunate, you know, given the way the industry is. Do you miss anything from television scoring at this point?
You know, I do. It hasn't quite been cold turkey. I have returned periodically. I did come back to do one episode of Buffy. I believe it was the 100th episode. And I did come back to also to do the musical episode. And just recently, a director I worked with on a film had a TV pilot that I came on to score. It was called Daybreak. It's been on ABC. It kind of replaced Lost in its time slot. And I did about half the first episode and then handed it off to another composer. So I recently had the experience of coming back to TV, and it was a nice place to visit, but I'm not sure I'd want to live there.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of establishing yourself in a certain direction to kind of give you the leeway to come back.
Well, exactly. It's really more the good part about returning to TV is the quick turnaround. You know, you're not stuck on a project for 6 months. You're in, you're out. It's efficient. But what I don't miss is the weekly grind of having to just turn out so much music so quickly, week in, week out, for a whole year.
Yeah, I bet. It's hard to keep that creative edge, I'm sure, when you're dealing with fatigue.
Right, exactly. Like, okay, here's the 100th scene of Buffy, you know, fighting some vampires I have scored. How can I do it differently this time?
Right, where's my inspiration?
Exactly.
Now, you must enjoy the diversity that, you know, some of your film scoring assignments have given you, though. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Cool.
It's great.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, how could you describe what your style is to people who might be new to your work? But I guess that really depends on the score they're listening to.
I do a lot of different styles. I do a lot of different kinds of movies. I really like it that way. I can recognize my style because I'm me. As to actually describing it, I don't know how I would put that into words. You know, I'd certainly like to think of myself as a composer who writes strong themes and, when appropriate, uses interesting high concepts and sound design, but, you know, that's for other people to judge. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't really know how to describe my style. I'm sure my agents could.
Yeah, it really is, you know, in a creative field, it's tough to kind of gauge a question like that.
Right. I mean, I certainly have my favorite devices and my favorite kinds of things to do, but the work is so varied because it really depends on the needs of the project and the tastes of the people I'm working with, so you never really know what to expect.
That's true. Now, who were and still might be some of your musical influences?
Well, I would have to put at the top of the list Jerry Goldsmith, who I actually had the pleasure of studying with years ago when he taught at USC, and he taught me and the rest of us in my class the importance of a strong melody, a strong theme, and to take the time at the outset to make sure that you have your materials all set and that it's very strong. And as I found out with We Are Marshall, which is by far my most thematic score yet, when you have your themes done and you're happy with them, it's just so much easier to write the rest of the score because the decision of what elements to use is for the most part made for you. It's not about, okay, here's a scene I'm looking at and it's a blank canvas and what on earth am I going to do here? It's more like, okay, here's a scene, what theme would be appropriate and how can I arrange it or orchestrate it in such a way that it works with the ebbs and flows of the scene and the demands of the scene itself.
Yeah, it's interesting insight. And that must have been a heck of a course to take for someone like you.
Yeah, it was great. He also emphasized the importance of being economical, and he's really the master of that. Mm-hmm. He's really the master of making a whole score out of nothing, basically. And I certainly don't mean that as a comment on the quality of the music, but he can make a 3-minute chase cue out of a 3-note motive, and it's tight, and focused and just constructed really, really well. And I think he's a master at that.
In closing here, I'd like to segue into what you might have lined up in the near future. What are some of the scores you might be working on for the future?
Well, I'm just finishing up now a movie called Year of the Dog, which is directed by Mike White. Mike is a very successful writer. He wrote School of Rock and The Good Girl and Nacho Libre. And this is his directorial debut, and it's a very quirky sort of comedic drama that stars Molly Shannon, basically about the relationship between a woman and her dog and what happens when the dog dies and how that affects her life. And it's a total change of pace from certainly from We Are Marshall, you know, an intimate, small ensemble as opposed to a giant orchestra. So while certainly there are themes in this score, it's really more about rhythms and textures, and it's just a 180 from We Are Marshall, so it's been really refreshing. After that, I'm doing a Robin Williams comedy called License to Wed, and who knows after that.
We'll be looking forward to We Are Marshall. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting experience across the board with it.
Great.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.